coming up on this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast.
Keep your hands where they can see it. And what the way to do it is if you feel as though you were mishandled.
Welcome to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD, where the doctor helps you unlock your full potential by equipping you with tools and knowledge in the areas of health, wealth, and wisdom, anchored in his experience as a business executive, a physician surveyor for the Joint Commission, a former mayor, and over 50 years of experience as a general surgeon. You've got questions, he's got answers. So let's get started. Here's Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.
Okay. Good morning. This is Dr. William T. Choctaw, and I will be your host today to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast. We always like to go over our beliefs. We believe life is about being of service to other people. We believe knowledge is power. We believe leaders can change the world. And so in essence, what we want to do for you, our audience, is to empower you with knowledge to make the world a better place. To that end, we have one of our very, very special guests for you today. He's a friend. He's been with you before, so you may remember him when I introduce him. But we think you're in for a treat today. And he's going to educate us about some things that we need to be educated about. The name of our podcast is Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. And part of that healthy is mental, physical, and spiritual, decreasing anxiety. And one of the ways to decrease anxiety is to have more knowledge, is to understand the environment, to understand circumstances that may arise, and how to manage those circumstances so they aren't surprises to you. And one of the things that our guest, my friend, Attorney Bernie Brown, is going to do is that he's going to go over some legal issues with us. And most of us, unless you've gone to law school, most probably have not gone to law school, you get very confused with legal issues, sort of like medical issues. You know, unless you're sick, you don't really think about it. Well, we want to make sure that you are mentally prepared, and the wise part of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, that you have that knowledge at a certain level. So welcome, Bernie.
Hi. Hello there. How's it going?
It's going very, very well. We're delighted to have you. We're going to have you get real close to your microphone so we can make sure that we hear you very well. And we'll just sort of turn it over to you.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me. This is an excellent program you have. I love Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. I was just listening a few days ago to that lecture you gave on artificial intelligence. And as an old guy like me, that I would never understand artificial intelligence. But now, after listening to you, I understand it. So thank you so
great.
Much. Yes, thanks so much. Great.
You're very welcome.
I want to talk to you today about what are your rights when dealing with the police and what are their rights when dealing with you.
Okay. Good.
This is one of the things that you hear about in the media all the time. Recently in the media, just as recently as a few days ago, a young boy was shot by the police.
Okay.
And your question always is, can they do that? Sean Diddy Combs, you know, that famous rapper.
Yes.
They raided his home and they did a whole bunch of agents converged on his home, got throwing things all over the place. They left it a mess.
Yes.
But the question is, can they do that? Is that legal? You see the police chases every day. Are those legal? You know, if you've grown up in a community or wherever you may live, a lot of times people are subject to police stops.
Yes.
There are car searches. There are home searches. There are body searches. We're going to deal with all of those questions today, all of those issues today. And this is actually a very serious topic.
Okay.
Because, you know, it can have deadly consequences, as we heard in the news. I remember growing up in South L.A., and, you know, I saw one of my teen friends get killed by the police.
Really?
And I know I was frequently stopped. I think they probably stopped me because I had a big natural. I probably fit the profile. They probably said, oh, this guy, he's got to be
somebody's profile.
Who had a natural that big? But I got stopped quite a few times. And let me just tell you one time, just as background information. One time I got stopped. It was in the 70s. I'm telling you how old I am now. But I was a young man in the 70s, and they stopped my vehicle, and they made me get out the car. Okay. And they came up, and they started searching. They went through the glove compartment, and they started throwing stuff on the floor. And then they went around to the back and opened the trunk, and they started pulling stuff out and throwing it in the street. And I said to them, I said, it was two officers. I said, wait a minute. He right. can't do that. They didn't know I just left a constitutional law class.
He said something to me.
The officer said, oh, my partner's trigger happy.
Oh,
he will kill you and no one will ever hear your side of the story. You better step back.
Wow.
And that was a lesson to me. That was before they had all these cameras everywhere.
Sure.
It was a lesson to me. And so before we even get into the law, I want to talk about common sense rules with the police. First thing is always obey the police.
Okay.
Always. And when I say obey their commands. Now, we're going to talk at some point about exceptions to the rule, because there are exceptions. But generally speaking, obey the police. Keep your hands in a place where they can see your hands.
Okay.
Do not run from the police. Do not fight with the police. Do not reach inside your pocket when dealing with the police. Do not approach a police officer with a weapon in your hand. And generally speaking, be polite when dealing with the police.
Now, should your hands be by your sides, or what should you do with them?
So that they're visible.
Okay.
Show your hands so that officers can see that you have no weapons in your hands. Keep in mind, these situations, confrontations, can be quite intense. They can be stressful, and officers sometimes I think they're afraid too.
Understood.
And so they want to make sure that they're secure, that you're not going to pull out a weapon out of your jacket or whatever. So keep your hands where they can see it. And the way to do it is, if you feel as though you were mishandled, just cooperate out there in the field. And then later, go to the police, your local police department, and file a complaint.
You can
file a complaint, or you can contact your lawyer and see if you have any type of an action for civil rights. So that's the way that should be handled. It was for this common sense dealing with the police. There's certain things you want to do because you want to protect your life.
Yes.
And the police want to feel secure themselves.
Got it.
So, and also, I just want to say very quickly, don't, and this is a sensitive thing here, don't rely on me as far as going out and telling, doing something and saying, oh, Attorney Bernie told me I could do that.
Right. I listened to this podcast and this guy told me it was
Attorney
okay.
Bernie told me that I could use profanity when dealing with the officers. I have a constitutional free speech right. You assume the risk, your own risk. Now, please don't cite me for your actions.
Got it.
And keep
common sense. Use common sense. What you were saying.
Common sense. And keep in mind that the laws are constantly changing, and new laws and they're changing. They're being updated. They're being appealed. There are different laws in different states. So with that background information, let's get it on.
Ready?
Yep. Okay, so our analysis is from three different perspectives.
Okay.
It's one, when you're in public, when you're like on a public street or in a public place.
All right.
And secondly, when you are in a vehicle. And it's thirdly, your rights when you are in your home.
Got it. Public, vehicle, and home.
Yes.
Got it.
So first, we're going to start off with stops and detentions and searches when you're out in a public place, not in a car and not in your home. And our question number one is, can the police approach you and start asking you questions? And the answer is, yes, they can. It's called in the law, it's called a consensual encounter. The police can just come up to you and start asking you questions.
How is that consensual if they don't ask for your consent?
Well,
was that presumed?
Here we're going to get into that. Then that you, your brilliant analysis already. If you're in a public place and you have the right to be in that public place, and they have the right to be in the public place, then they can come up and start asking you questions.
Okay,
you don't have to answer the question. And the interesting thing is, too, not only can they come up to you in a public place and start asking you questions, but there have been cases that hold they can actually come up to you and lie.
Really?
They can come up to you and say, well, we have a videotape of you committing a crime, and it'll go better for you if you just confess right here. And that's been found constitutionally to be permissible for them to lie to you. Now, you can always, the smart thing to do is to say, I exercise my right to remain silent. Okay.
Hey, tell me that again, that phrase.
I exercise my right. Officer, I respectfully exercise my legal constitutional right to remain silent.
Okay.
Now, keep in mind that if they come up to you and they're asking you questions, and if they ask you for identification, hey, we need identification. They can ask you for identification, and you are required to provide them identification if they have a valid reason for. Now we're into a detention. And we're going to talk later about identification and registration when you're dealing with a car. With regard to being in the public place, they can ask you for identification if they have a valid reason for stopping you. Generally, the reason they're stopping you is, let's say they want to give you a traffic ticket for a citation for throwing trash on the street or something, or for littering. So we're not in a car yet. We're still in public.
Okay.
So they can ask you for your identification. Now, you can tell them, no, I'm not giving you your identification. Now, keep in mind, for a general misdemeanor or an infraction, just a ticket, they're not going to arrest you and take you to jail. Generally, for an infraction or a ticket, all they're going to do is write you a ticket and let you go. But if you refuse to give them ID, then they're going to say, well, we don't know who you are. Now we have to arrest you, take you into the police station to determine who you are. And they can legitimately do that. So that's where that stands.
So then by law, you have to always carry a wallet or a purse?
Well, you should have some form. You don't have to carry it. You should have some form of identification, or you should be able to identify yourself. A lot of times they have a computer, and if you tell them your name, they can run it into the...
Oh, I see. So ID could just be telling them...
Date of birth.
Okay.
If they are unable to identify you and you have no license or any other identifying information, then they may say, look, we have to take you in to confirm your identity.
Okay.
Now, here's an interesting point. Question number four, what do you do if the police ask you for permission to search you?
Right.
I was giving a lecture some years back at a college, and there were all of these college students, and I asked them that question. I asked, if a police officer comes up to you and asks for permission to search you, what should be your answer? And they all of them said, yes. Yes, we should allow the police officer to search us, give him consent to search us. And I said, I mean, you can do that.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to, and you waive all your constitutional rights if you give consent to search. because see, you have the police can't search you unless they meet certain constitutional standards.
Okay.
And once you waive your right, if you just consent and say, "Oh, you can search me," then they don't have to meet those constitutional standards.
But you see, the resident is always at a disadvantage because the police know what those standards are, but the average person doesn't have a clue.
Oh, you are absolutely right. And they play a lot of tricks, you know. They'll come up to you and say, "Hey, you know what? Do you have any? You have any drugs on you? Anything? You know, just make it easier for me to talk with you if you if you got any drugs or any contraband or any weapons." And if you say, "Yes, officer, I have cocaine and methamphetamine and heroin in my pocket," then it's, "Oh, okay, now you've given them probable cause and reasonable suspicion to search you."
Right, right.
They're going to reach right in and start searching. Ordinarily, if you don't give them consent and you don't tell them voluntarily that you have some illegal substance, then they must meet certain legal requirements before they can search you. Those legal requirements are basically, and there are quite a few of them, but there are several ways they can meet it. And one is a warrant. They must have a warrant.
Okay.
Just search you. If they don't have a warrant, and a warrant, they have to go to a judge and they have to ask the judge permission to give them a warrant. And then they have to meet certain standards in order to qualify for a warrant.
Right.
If they don't have a warrant, they can have what's called probable cause or reasonable suspicion.
Okay.
That you have some illegal contraband or some weapons or something, in which event they can search you, especially if they observe any what they call furtive conduct. If they observe you putting drugs in your pocket, or they observe you putting a weapon in your pocket, or they go, you know, if they observe you committing a crime in their presence, they can also get, you can also be searched pursuant to arrest. If you commit a crime and you are arrested, then they can search you as part of the booking process for officer safety.
Right.
And if they find anything while they're conducting that search, when they're placing you under arrest, then they can use that against you in a court of law. Okay, so there is something that's commonly referred to as a pat-down search. Now, that's different.
Okay.
A pat-down search is a search where they just touch you on the outside of your clothing.
Okay.
A full search is a search where they can go inside your pockets and where they can try to retrieve anything inside your pockets and search inside your pockets. Generally speaking, a pat-down search on the outside of your person is permissible if they have legally detained you, that is, stopped you for a valid legal reason, and if they have a reasonable suspicion to believe that you may be armed and dangerous. Okay, now that gets real interesting, because what they do is if they have a reason to do a pat down, they can pat down. And if they feel something hard on you that feels like a weapon inside one of your pockets or inside your belt buckle.
So the definition of possible weapon is something that feels hard. Let's say I have a piece of hard candy in my pocket. I mean, that's not a weapon.
If it's something that feels hard, that might be like a weapon. Like it feels like, if they can articulate that it felt like a knife or a gun or something like that. Okay.
Okay.
Now, you're right. It could be a candy bar. It could be drugs. But if they can say, "Oh, Your Honor, I did a pat down search because I thought he might have a weapon, because when I saw him, there was a report he might have had a weapon, or I saw him, he looked like he was like he might have a weapon. It was something bulging from his pocket." They do the pat down and they say, "Oh, we did the pat down search and we felt something that felt like a gun." And so then they can go in your pocket to retrieve it. Now, that gets interesting. When they go in your pocket to retrieve it, if it isn't a gun, that's okay. But if they find if it's drugs, then they can retrieve the drugs. So it's a legal excuse that they can search you. Okay. Interesting thought.
Wait, let me ask a question. Now, I'm originally from Nashville, Tennessee, and we were right. When I was growing up, we were told you just stay away from them. You know, good things don't happen when you're around the police. All right. So as a result, you know, like even if at a traffic signal, you know, one were to pull up beside my car, I'm looking over because I'm still going back from those previous. I've never had an encounter with police, but a lot of times you can act real nervously, even if you're innocent. As a matter of fact, I would argue a lot of people who are innocent act real nervously because it's just stress or anxiety they have about law enforcement, maybe. How does one deal with that? You know, you're already at a disadvantage. What would you advise they do?
Well, nervousness, just per se nervousness, is not sufficient for an officer to justify a detention or a stop. But, you know, there are all these different cases and they vary, vary, vary as to the factual circumstances. Right. Certainly, if nervousness is running from a police officer, that may be sufficient for probable cause and raise a reasonable suspicion that justifies the officer in detaining you and or conducting a possible search. So there are various levels of actual things that may happen. So
if I'm nervous, is there anything I should not do other than run? Let's say I'm nervous, but I'm starting to sweat and already because I see this guy coming toward me or I'm looking around and I'm looking over my shoulder. So I'm probably acting a little suspicious, right? But I'm just nervous of the uniform. So how do I deal with that?
If you're just nervous, all you can do is just act normal. Don't take anything and throw it away in front of the officer. Take something out of your pocket and throw it in the bushes. Don't start going in your pockets or, you know. The officer will have to justify why he stopped you. And if he just said you were sweating and walking fast, that's not enough. The judge is going to throw it out. And so it'll be a fact by fact analysis. If he just says you look nervous, that should not be enough. They have to have something in addition to that to justify the detention and the stop. It goes right along with that. The next question is, can the police detain you for no reason at all? And the answer is no. They have to have probable cause or reasonable suspicion to believe that you have committed a crime before they can detain you. Like I said earlier, there's a difference between detaining you and telling you that you are not free to leave.
Okay.
And just having a consensual encounter. So when the police come up to you and they start talking to you, you can say to them at some point, you can say, or immediately you can say, "Your officer, I haven't done anything. Am I free to leave?" Now, if he says, "No, you're not free to leave. I want to talk to you." Now he has to have a reason for detaining you, because once you're not free to leave, certain legal rights come into play.
I see.
Once he tells you that, or once it becomes apparent that you're not free to leave, your rights, your constitutional rights, are automatically come into play. And so,
I'm sitting in McDonald's having a Big Mac. And these officers come in uniform. Now, I'm nervous of the officers and I'm sweating and the whole thing. And they come over to my table in McDonald's and they start talking to me. And I just want to get out because they just terrify me, you know. So it's okay for me to say, "Officer, am I free to leave?" or something to that
effect. You can say that, or you can say, "I don't want to talk to you. Leave my table."
but I need to say it in a nice way. I need to be polite.
What you do is make the officer angry. You know, these officers get mad, and that's what really happens when people are fleeing from the officers.
Right.
They get angry. And, you know, by the time they catch you, if they have to go through a lot to catch a person, or if you have an attitude and they don't like your attitude, then they try to do anything within the law, within the law, to make a case on you. So it's just so much easier to be polite and courteous and agreeable to the extent possible with officers. You can still be polite and say, I do not give you permission to search me, and I don't want to talk to you. You know, I don't want to answer any questions.
So you can actually say that as long as you say it politely.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to you.
Say it not politely, but it may have certain, you know, you may get them upset.
Okay.
Now, you know, there are certain misconceptions out there, too.
Okay.
A lot of misconceptions. You know, a lot of times the question is, you know, you hear about the Miranda rights.
Yes.
You hear them saying, you have the right to remain silent. And if you waive that right, anything you say can and will be used against you.
Now, when do they have to do that?
They don't have to do that. And that's the point. They don't have to do that until you're under arrest. That's the interesting thing. See, a lot of people think that they have to do that when they immediately come up to you and start talking to you. But they don't. Until they say, we're putting you in cuffs, or until they say, we're placing you under arrest, that's when they have to tell you, you have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. If you cannot afford an attorney, one will be provided to you for you and blah, blah, blah. All of those, your rights.
And, okay.
But that doesn't come into play until you get to that stage. And they're interesting things because the next question, can the police arrest you for a crime they did not see you commit?
Right.
They didn't see the crime. Well, it depends on the category of crime.
Okay.
If it's a felony, and a felony is a crime that there are lists of crimes that are felonies, and generally it's a crime where you can go to state prison. And with a felony, they don't have to personally see the crime.
Okay.
They can rely on police 911 calls and reliable informants. They can rely on information that they've received.
Okay.
And they can use that as a basis for arrest, witness statements, et cetera, et cetera. Now, it's a little bit different. Well, it's a lot different with regard to infractions and misdemeanors. An infraction is a crime that is not punishable by jail.
Okay.
And a misdemeanor is a crime. There are lists of misdemeanors. And generally, the maximum sentence for a misdemeanor is 1 year in the county jail.
Okay.
Now, ordinarily, for infractions, they're just going to write you a ticket. Like we said earlier, they're just going to release you. So they will not, they do need to see you commit the crime, I should say.
Right.
Okay.
Now, if it's an infraction and it's for 1 year, doesn't that make it a felony if it's 1 year or no?
The infraction is no jail time. An infraction is just a fine.
Okay.
A misdemeanor is jail time up to 1 year.
Okay, got it.
And a felony is prison.
Is over 1 year.
Yeah. Can be less, but it's actual prison compared to low county jail.
Okay.
Now, there are lists that delineate, but the rights for each one is different. Like a felony, like I said, they can arrest you for a felony not committed in their presence. They cannot arrest you for an infraction not committed in your presence. They can write you a ticket.
Okay.
And in most jurisdictions, for most misdemeanors, they can only, what we call, cite and release. They can write you a ticket and release you. The ticket will have a court date on it. It'll say, you will have to appear on such and such a date and such and such a time to answer for the crime of battery, you know, slapping your wife or whatever.
Okay.
Whatever that might be. But, you know, they can... I lost my train of thought there. There are certain misdemeanors where they can arrest you. And the most prominent one is DUI.
Okay. Okay.
They stop you. You're driving your vehicle and they can stop you if you commit a DUI. And certain violent misdemeanors where they can arrest you without actually having seen you commit the crime. And then the next question is, can the police search my wallet or purse? If they stop you in a public place and you're just walking around, can they come to you and search, you know, can I search your wallet? No, we already said, no, okay. We're not going to let them search your wallet or purse. But they can search your wallet or your purse for identifying information. If you don't have any identifying information and they want to cite you, we discussed that earlier, and okay. Or if they have a reason to believe that you may have a deadly weapon, that you may be armed and dangerous.
Got it.
If they believe reasonably that you have a weapon, then they can search you for that weapon. Initially, they would do what we call a pat down search. We talked okay. about that, where they just feel out on the outside of your clothing. And if they have reason to believe, then they can do a more complete, thorough search.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And what we always like to say to ourselves and to our audience, be the change that you want to see in the world. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD. Be sure to check out other great episodes covering areas of health, wealth, and wisdom at thwwp.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out the books, blogs, and other literature in your preferred format. And don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, share, and support the podcast. That's at thwwp.com. You've been listening to the Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise podcast with Dr. William T. Choctaw, MD, JD.